Physical shock was already making concentration difficult. He quickly loaded a sequence of localized limiter routines into the neuron cells buried beneath the polyp on which he was pinned by the twisted crane boom. Developed for his Jantrit campaign, their sophistication was orders of magnitude above the usual diversionary orders juvenile Edenists employed to avoid parental supervision. Firstly, he regularized the image which the surrounding sensitive cells were supplying to the neural strata, freezing the picture of his body. At that point, his heart gave its last beat. He could sense the desperate attempts by the multiplicity to ward off Lewis's subsumption of the island. Latton was banking everything on the primitive street boy using brute force to take over. Sure enough, Lewis's eerily potent but crude thought currents flowed through the neural strata below, flushing every other routine before him, though even his augmented power failed to root out Latton's subversive routines. They were symbiotic rather than parasitic, working within the controlling personality, not against it. It would take a highly experienced Edenist Bitech neuropathologist to even realize they were there, let alone expunge them. Latton's lips gave a final quirk of contempt. He cleared a storage section in the neuron cells and transferred his personality into it. His final act before consciousness and memory sank below the polyp was to trigger the proteanic virus infecting every cell of his body. Mosul dreamed. He was lying in bed in his accommodation tower flat, with Cleo beside him. Mosul woke. He looked down fondly at the sleeping girl. She was in her early 20s, with long dark hair and a pretty flattish face. The sheet had slipped from her shoulders, revealing a pert, rounded breast. He bent over to kiss the nipple. She stirred, smiling dreamily, as his tongue traced a delicate circle. A warm overspill of gently erotic images came floating out of her drowsy mind. Mosul grinned in anticipation and woke. He frowned down in puzzlement at the sleeping girl beside him. The bedroom was illuminated by a sourceless rosy glow. It shaded Cleo's silky skin a dark burgundy color. He shook the sleep from his head. They had been making love for hours last night. He was entitled to some lassitude after that. She responded eagerly to his kisses, throwing aside the sheet so he could feast on the sight of her. Her skin hardened and wrinkled below his touch. When he looked up in alarm, she had become a cackling, white-haired crone. The pink light shifted into bright scarlet, as though the room was bleeding. He could see the polyp walls palpitating. In the distance, a giant heartbeat thudded. Mosul awoke. The room was illuminated by a sourceless rosy glow. He was sweating. It was intolerably hot. "Panic! I'm having a nightmare, I think. Am I awake now?" "Yes, Mosul." "Thank goodness. Why is it so hot?" "Yes, you are having a nightmare. My nightmare." "Panic!" Mosul woke, jerking up from the bed. The bedroom walls were glowing red, no longer a safe hard polyp, but a wet meat traced with a filigree of purple-black veins. They oscillated like jelly. The heartbeat sounded again louder than before. A damp, acrid smell tainted the air. "Panic! Help me!"
"No, Mosul."
"What are you doing?" Cleo rolled over and laughed at him. Her eyes were featureless balls of jaundiced yellow. "We're coming for you, Mosul, you and all your kind, smug, arrogant bastards that you are." She elbowed him in the groin. Mosul shouted at a vicious pain and tumbled off the raised sponge cushion which formed his bed. Sour yellow vomit trickled out of his mouth as he writhed about on the slippery floor. Mosul woke. It was real this time, he was sure of that. Everything was dangerously clear to his eyes. He was lying on the floor, all tangled up in the sheets. The bedroom glowed red, its walls raw, stinking meat. Cleo was locked in her own looped nightmare, hands raking the top of the bed, staring sightlessly at the ceiling. Uniformed screams stalled in her throat as though she was choking.